And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, June 7th, 2014. This is Season 8, Episode 23. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm Dennis.
I'm RJ.
And Nathan is also in the booth. He is on the phone at the moment. Actually, he's calling Retro Gaming Planet. I believe there's a tournament going on this Sunday, but he's gonna find out for us. I believe they are doing a tournament. But we're going to find out what game that is, and we'll get the details to you as soon as we can. Hey, if you'd like to get in touch with the show, our phone number is 334-272-9228. You can check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat as well as on Facebook. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We are streaming the cam feed right now through Twitch. Head over to twitch.tv, and you can find us there and join in the chat room live while we broadcast. So it is a week before... No, it's not. It's a couple days before E3 now, and it's the big one coming up. Oh, there it is. Street Fighter 2 is the game that they're doing at Retro Game Planet today. Hmm. RJ?
Well, more importantly, which Street Fighter 2? There's a bunch of them.
I am not sure which one they're doing. Retro Gaming Planet, I would think...
Could be the basic one, but, I mean, God, there were like four versions on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Genesis.
You got Street Fighter 2, then you had Champion Edition, then Hyper Edition, and
then
Super
Turbo.
Street Fighter 2, then you had Turbo Street Fighter 2, and a whole bunch of different ones. Four or five versions of that game. Then
yeah,
had,
I know it sounds like a silly list, but it's like, seriously, there were a lot of versions.
Then you had Street Fighter 2 HD Remix on PlayStation 3 and 360, I believe, yeah, as well.
Well, that is going on over at Retro Gaming Planet in Prattville, so check that out. And we'll probably get in touch with them a little bit later on in the hour, find out how the tournament's going. But Nathan's still on the phone with them getting all that information. But like we said, E3 is on... It starts officially on Tuesday, but you've got your press conferences on Monday that start at...
You're talking about two different E3s then.
Yeah, really you are.
You get to walk around what is the show floor.
Right.
Starting on Tuesday. You get to go to the actual booths. You get to start going through and handling all your individual interviews with publishers and developers and PR people. But the real weight, right, the real, real hefty weight of the show, most of the announcements, everything that the people at home are most concerned with, all of that is front-loaded onto Monday and a little bit Tuesday. But it's not... Not quite as much as it used to be, since Nintendo doesn't participate in the same way that they used to.
Yeah, because they're doing their Nintendo Direct.
They're not calling it that this year, are they? They called it Nintendo Direct last year.
I know that's whatever they do.
They've rebranded it again, but it's pre-recorded. It's a scripted, much... Well, they're all scripted, but it is a pre-recorded, pre-edited delivery of news and announcements. And state of the company type of stuff, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really pay attention to them because I feel like that's what does come out of there is better digested by other people and then served to me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't know. Whatever. I want somebody else to go through it and decide what they think is interesting and then tell me.
Mm. Yeah, because the chances of getting something really interesting out of them is...
Seems pretty slim. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. You have a current Nintendo system. You're the person who is supposed to know all the things I want another person to know about Nintendo. It's your job. And you're supposed to care, because I don't. Not really.
The problem is I don't really care.
Well, I need you to care, and the world needs you to care.
Well, I will say I did, actually today, pick up Mario Kart 8. That's a game that really makes me care about my Wii U now.
Mm.
It was really good. It was the same feeling I got just going back and playing Super Mario Kart. But with like a lot more bells and whistles and all of it.
Yeah.
Just adding to the fun.
As a person who has played, I'm guessing, most, if not all, Mario Karts, where do you fall in terms of preference?
To be fair, the only ones I played simply were Super and 64. Uh-huh. I did not get into Double Dash. I did not get into 7.
Okay.
But... Super Mario Kart's probably my favorite. 64, the main problem I had was the rubber band AI. It was like, well, if you get ahead, the computer just right. automatically catches up with you. And that doesn't seem to be the case here, but there's no on-screen map, so I can't really tell. But there have been several times there were several times I was just playing like basic 50cc race, but there were several times I like ran into a wall or something happened, and I wasn't like immediately laughed by everybody like I was in 64, where one mistake is like, oh man, now you're in 8th place. The only time that ever happens is when, you know, the blue shell of doom pops out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really good, and hopefully I'm hoping to get other people to try that out and see what it's like multiplayer.
What do you have to have to play it?
It will allow the main tablet, of course, the Obviously. Wii gamepad. You can use a Wiimote nunchuck, Wii U controller. I'm not sure if you can use like the original Wii classic controller plugged into a Wiimote or not.
Okay.
And I know there's like the wheel thing with the Motion Plus will also work. But using the main Wii U gamepad and using it just like controller was just so good.
Mm.
Just my buttons, no weird motion controls, not having to like steer left and right. And just buttons and a stick, that's all you need.
Yeah. Direct input style gameplay.
The Wii U would be so much better if that's what its main focus was just games, not motion controls. Mm-hmm. Just let that be an accessory and everything would be better. Just everything.
Now here there was a little controversy or dust up among the community about a certain technique I think it was like fire tripping or something, like if you boosted and then like kept hopping through it, you would keep all the momentum. A lot of folks were calling that cheating or something. Someone in the chat may know about it, but and I thought to myself, well, this is Mario Kart, folks. This is one of the most ruthless competitive games.
Yeah, I haven't really gotten into like any of the like techniques yet. There's still the drift and you get the movement boost. I don't think you have to like knock your steering back and forth anymore to get that going.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. So I literally just did like 2 Grand Prix races today.
Okay.
Man, they were fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like this is what Nintendo needs if they want to be up there mentioned with the Xbox One, PS4, is more of this.
Yeah.
Just put out more of this. That's what you need, not Wiimotes pointing at the screen, not vitality sensors, just games. That's what you need.
Like you mentioned about the controls, if you just keep it simple, you know, a lot more people can get into it and have no complaints. Just focus on the gameplay more than anything else.
Yeah, and I will say this, like, really makes me kind of look forward to Smash Brothers now. Because this kind of got knocked out of parts, like, that's Nintendo's next big thing. And Brawl was okay. Melee is still considered, like, their, at least from what I've read among the tournament folk, that's still the main one you go to for competitive Smash Brothers. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what happens with the Wii U and 3DS versions. See
if they can get the same effect they did with Mario Kart. Okay.
But yeah, I just want good games.
Right. Now you have a good game.
Yeah,
for your Wii U.
Well, I have 2 good games because there's still the one I got a year and a half ago or so, which was Zombie U, which. But I would like to go with less time than a year and a half for another good game.
Yeah. You think it's enough to move systems?
I don't think so. I don't think just the one title by itself is enough to move it, unless you like were really big into Mario Kart. I don't think that alone would move it. Mm. With Smash Brothers, possibly. I mean, they do have a deal going on where if you get Mario Kart before, I think, the end of June, you get a free Wii U download code with it, which is, you can get New Super Mario Brothers, the new Pikmin game, Wind Waker, or Wii Party.
Okay.
And basically, you just get a free code for that. So basically, I spent $60 for 2 Wii U games, because I went and got Wind Waker.
Okay.
Which is a pretty good deal. I mean, Wind Waker, I have a special place.
You have a special place for me. Right before the final boss, where you just live.
Wind Waker has a special place for me. It's one of the only Zeldas I ever played, actually, and only
really?
Especially that I ever played all the way through, even though I didn't finish it, but almost all the way through. Yeah. Put it that way, very close to being done with it. I never got into any of the Zelda games prior to that, and even afterwards.
That's interesting because all the ones that came before the 64 were pretty different from what you had.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know why. Maybe it was just new system. Maybe it was, You know, it was still, it was like Zelda, I'm not too interested in this. I think it started as a rental, or it started as, it probably bought it at that time, because I don't think Gamefly existed at that point in time, but tried it, and it really, it just stuck, and I enjoyed it, and whatever got it, at right place, right time, something like that for me, I suppose, is why it stuck with me. So, really like that. Mario Kart 8, we got plenty of, I can't play Mario Kart 8 by myself, though. Although it's got an online component now.
Yes, it does.
Which
have
is something
an
that I never had with the GameCube.
And I didn't have a chance to try it out yet, so yeah. I don't know how it goes. But I know it is online. I think you can do up to two players local and go online.
Yeah, but that's it for me. Two games. One of which I've already played. One of which is a game that I've played before in other iterations, you know, Mario Kart.
Yeah, and so, I can only add on my previous one to that.
Right.
So,
so for me, it's not enough yet to purchase a system.
No, and it's a shame that going almost 2 years now, I think, with three games, that's not a good track record at all as far as wanting a system. You know, because you look back at what we had before, with like going back to the PS2, it was just a deluge of games within the first year. Just everything you wanted to play. And now you have three, four titles. You know, Xbox One, PS4, we don't quite know about yet because it's just 6 months in.
Right.
So we have just that, like, little tiny one or two. But seriously, the Wii U is, like, at three with the amount of start time it had.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's not good.
Yeah.
Now, you want to see, like you said if Nintendo would just keep doing more stuff like this.
Yeah.
Which is, what, fun? Just fun
just
games?
Just fun games. It's what all three of them need to do. Don't focus on Kinect. Don't focus on Wiimotes. Focus on making a game, putting it out there, and making it fun. Don't be like, oh, well, this game had this feature in there, so let's just tack it on right there.
Mm-hmm.
Multiplayer, because everybody loves multiplayer. It's like, if you're going to put in multiplayer, if you're going to put in a feature, make it because it makes the game good. Mm-hmm. Not because, oh, I just got to have it in there just because, man.
Yeah, some obligatory thing like
yeah.
that.
I think that's what's really just brought games down these past few years.
So what do you hope to hear from Nintendo at E3? Fun games. I get that.
Yeah.
But
I can't think of anything really specific. Like, as far as like what would really turn it around, like be like, the Wii U is my console. I don't know. I just don't think they have it in them to make that announcement yet. I think if they had a solid year of making good three or four first party titles and get some third party support in, that's what it would take. And it's not something that's going to be an overnight process. It's going to be something that will take a year of solid work on a lot of people's parts to make that happen. As right now, it's kind of secondary. After E3 I'd probably be much more interested in having PS4 than caring about my Wii U, if you really want to get down to it.
And why the PS4?
Mostly it's...
The exclusives.
I'm still kind of interested in Infamous. I know it's kind of been lukewarm for...
I'll sell you my copy for cheap, man. By the time you get a PS4, you can probably get it for cheap. It'll probably be on PS Plus.
I'll
if
be
you
all
get
about
that. So
it might be free by the time I get one.
But yeah, mostly the excitement is PlayStation Now. What that's going to consist of. I have hopes for it. I know we gotta manage our expectations. We have to.
You go using a dirty word. You're using hope.
I know.
And that's not a very good word to use. This isn't.
No, we need to think about it with cold rationality.
This isn't a storytelling place.
Doesn't matter. I mean, still have that hope that like something good will come of PS Now.
Look, I think it will be fun if something good comes of it. Right.
Yeah.
The same way that I think. Boy, it will be good if the new Star Wars films are not garbage, right? If they're not an absolute hot, dumpy mess, mm-hmm. I think that will be good. I don't hope for things like that anymore, though, because hope doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's not cynical to say that this is absolutely a business. This stuff is... When we look at the industry and the business and the games the way that we do, it's because we've spent decades now, right? Not a couple of years... Right, not even a couple of generations, but hardware generations, but we've spent entire human generations paying very close attention to how these things work and why they work. Much of what makes them tick is exposed to us as a part of, like, somewhat public knowledge. A lot of the rest can be inferred with a high degree of accuracy based on predictions and results and observation, right? So when we think about, like, what you were saying before, like the Wii U, to think that even in a year's time, the fortunes for the Wii U could change is, it literally is wishful thinking.
Yeah, it is.
There are almost no huge secrets where third-party support is concerned. It's very, very, very hard to keep that kind of thing a secret. It's also very hard to imagine a fictional scenario where we don't understand the relative strengths of these three major systems. The One, the PS4, and the Wii U. And the Wii U very much lives in the world of no direct competition with the other two systems. That's something that Nintendo has said publicly, repeatedly, and emphatically
for years,
ever since they went the direction of the Wii. We're not in direct competition with the other two. That was borne out when the Wii, which was bargain priced from the get-go, sold like hotcakes because it promised a simple, flippant, easily dismissed, but pick-up-and-play type of gimmick, right? At a price that pretty much anybody could agree to. And then, when the fun was gone, the fun was absolutely gone. It was flying off shelves one day, and you couldn't give them away the next. Then they moved into the Wii U realm.
And now you can't find a Wii on the shelves anywhere, just Wii U's.
No, exactly. But they've maintained that same ethos with the Wii U, but they've just changed what the Wii U is about. They've made it a more powerful system, sure. They've kind of refused to abandon the notion that experimental, I don't want to say gimmickry, I don't think that's fair, but experimental inputs should be core to the system.
Yeah.
And I think that's a bad idea. The other guys think it's a bad idea. But it has locked them into a specific place. That would be bad, I guess, if they were saying, well, we really need to climb out of third place. We really have to be competitive again like we were in the 90s and early aughts. They're not. They're maintaining that same ethos. The problem is, then, the Wii U absolutely is what it is right now. It has the games it has. There is a very limited library. And not much looking to be added to it over the course of the next 6 months or a year. Because, again, we kind of know roughly what those things are. Nintendo, I will say, is incredibly good at keeping secrets where first-party titles are concerned. So they could come out at E3 and say, you know, this thing of whatever sort, and it could come out this holiday season, and that's, there's precedent for that, right? There's reason to believe that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason to believe that someone like me, for example, I grew up with Nintendo stuff the same way every other person who plays video games does. Like, are you 10? Are you 60? You have probably played some of the most basic Nintendo properties and loved them because they're finely tuned, really well made, with the possible exception of some things of the last couple of generations, right? But they're lovable for a very good reason, and they make very, very good gameplay-oriented first-party titles. That's all they can do for me. The Wii U has no hope of competing for the best platform for third-party games. So what they really need to do is sell me on the idea that I'm going to get all those things I love about Nintendo, and I'm going to get them at a fast enough rate that it sort of makes it worth spending the money on their system. And it doesn't matter who you are. Sony, Microsoft, Ubisoft, Nintendo, it doesn't matter. Game development's really hard, and it takes a really long time. And right now, anything that they're not actively working on, anything that they haven't actively been working on for years, isn't even, it's over the horizon.
Yeah.
It's so far away that it can't affect the futures of the Wii U. Because meanwhile, the world's going to march on. Financial quarter after financial quarter is just going to fall off the calendar over and over and over again, and you can't magic up, you can't conjure a video game. And I don't think that stuff is really in the pipeline for Nintendo. And the third-party stuff absolutely, mathematically, is not in the cards. Maybe way later. But a lot of the major third-party publishers don't seem terribly interested. I know that Bayonetta is another good example of something that could happen. And that's good if you get enough of it moving. A title here, a title there, even a handful of titles a year isn't enough to help them out of where they are, you know? It doesn't make it a bad system. It does not make them a bad company. But there is a reason why there's a lot of hand-wringing about it, particularly from people like me, who the greatest moments of gaming I've ever had that have yet to even be matched, much less surpassed, all happened on Nintendo platforms. Most of them happened on the Super Nintendo. It would do my heart good to see that company be the kind of company and do the sorts of things they did back then. But it's just, it's not there.
Yeah,
to believe it's there literally is wishful thinking. There is no evidence and no reason to believe that it's happening.
It
worries people like me. That's all it is. It's not hate. It's not a desire to see them fail. It's a little bit of face-palming, a little bit of head-smacking, hand-wringing, worry, and regret. That's what it is. But it's not like, hey, man, if they just do this, and if this thing happens, and if the wind is blowing the right direction at the right time, that's just going to turn around. Like, one day I'm going to wake up, and magic, here you go, like sparkles and fairy dust, and all of a sudden they're great. They're doing good. They're turning around.
It
ain't going to happen.
The handful of games here, it makes me think of the Neo Geo, of all things.
Yeah.
Because every so often you like, see an ad for like a game, it's like, that sounds really good. Oh, Neo Geo, only on Neo Geo. And it's like, it was this pretty high-priced piece of hardware for what it was back in the day. And it was like, okay, I want to play it, but I don't want to spend $600 or whatever it was, compared to like 20 years ago what an expensive game system was. But I don't feel bad about not playing it. It's like, I kind of want to play it. I kind of feel like that's what people are going to look back at the Wii U as. Like, oh, there was a handful of titles I wanted to play, but don't miss it. I don't feel bad about missing it.
Given the benefit of looking back on it from a perspective of years, it will become an obviously desirable system, because it will be $100. Let's say you never had one. You will look back 5 years from now and go, man, I can get a Wii U for $120, and there's like six mind-blowingly amazing games on that system. No-brainer. Of course, but we're not living 5 years from now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're living in the day-to-day, the quarter-to-quarter, right now. They've got Scrooge McDuck money bin levels of money. So does Microsoft. That stuff never matters. You know that I'm lying when I say it. It matters a little bit. But when you're not selling systems, when you're not moving units, when your attach rate is really, really low, it doesn't matter if you're sitting on vaults of stuff. It's like an educational endowment. You can't just reach for it anytime you want. That's inherently damaging. I hate talking about this like a business. I do. None of us ever really should have wanted it to be a big business. And we all did.
Pulls the fun right out of it.
It just used to be a lark.
Yeah.
It used to be possible to be a runaway success if you sold 400,000 copies of a video game. It was great. Good job. Pats on the back for all 25 people who work in the development studio. It's become a horrible business, and everything that it does isn't about fun anymore. It isn't about lighthearted interaction. It isn't about the exploration of virtual worlds or the examination of impossible scenarios through gameplay. It isn't about any of that crap anymore. It's about business. It's about money. It's about dollars.
It's about what we can sell. It's about what DLC can we put out for this. What, you know, who's having, what are people talking about? What feature can we take and tack it on to our game? Because that must be what it's about, because that will make us more dollars.
And how much you love Nintendo, right? How much respect you have for any of them. How adorable you think Reggie is. How cute you think any of their things are. Or how finely tuned you think any of the gameplay from their amazing first-party properties are. It doesn't matter. Plenty of beautiful things have gone extinct. And there is a reason why people, like I, bellyache about this. It's because we've I've been around, man. I've seen the greatest things ever made just ignored, dismissed, marginalized. I've seen the people who invented them, who conjured them into existence, fired, thrown to the wind, studios dissolved or devoured, and there you go. You know, there's some discussion recently about, again, pick your forum, pick your subreddit, pick your battleground, right? Talking about the, what, 4.5 million copies Watch Dogs sold in its first week.
Mm-hmm.
Despite all of the obvious downgrades, despite all of the sleight of hand, the misdirection about what the game actually was, sold millions of copies in its first week. The biggest day one sale of anything they've ever had.
Yeah.
At Ubisoft. A lot of people were really angry about that. And it isn't, I don't think, an inherent need to see something you hate fail. It's the fact that you honestly believe this is a pile of garbage. What they've done is they've delivered the most robotic set of gameplay, the least interesting, least inspiring new IP I have seen, full stop, and it sells this much. And you know what that means?
That's the future. That's the future
there. Don't try any harder.
Yeah.
Don't really try to make the writing make sense. Don't make the characters any less wooden. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Of course you want 2/3 of your budget going to marketing. Because it works.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Nintendo is at the bottom of a hole.
Yeah.
And that's bad. But no amount of wishful thinking will give Ubisoft the comeuppance they deserve, or EA for that matter, and no amount of it will save Nintendo. That's hard and that's bad. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, keep it with you. Keep that in your mind over the next week. Remember that's what it's all about. Nobody's doing you favors. Nobody's being your buddy. Nobody's a fairy godmother. No one's delivering the good news. It's a business. And it's kind of a bad one.
On that note, we're going to take a break and come back with happy unicorns and flowers of talk of E3 and stuff. We'll go to the other side of the spectrum, I guess, and everything else that we've got to talk about. There's like a whole list of things. Good God, we had a sequel to a game that I didn't think we'd get one. Then we had a delay to a game that really pissed us off. And then just a ton of stuff coming up on In-Game Chat. If you'd like to be on the show, give us a call, 334-272-9228. We will be back in just a moment. This is music from Alan Wake. Welcome to Bright Falls here on In-Game Chat. We'll be right back.
Display itself, the physical display, the monitor or the television, which is very much a part of how that whole process works. 60 is always better. I'm a little more forgiving of resolution. I do the majority of my gameplay on a PC. I haven't played something in less than 1080p resolution in ages and ages and ages and ages.
I'm with you on that, and given the choice between would I take lower resolution for higher frame rate or higher resolution for lower frame rate,
right.
I've said this before, I'll say this again, I will always take 60 frames a second over high graphics quality. I care about how the game plays, how the game feels over how it looks.
I agree. Our friend Kevin, he and I used to disagree about this terribly. And this, we're going all the way back to the days of 1024 by 768 standard resolutions in the mid to late 90s. And he and I always disagreed. He wanted image quality. He wanted every graphical thing he could have. He wanted every bell and whistle. And there weren't a lot of them back then. But he wanted everything he could get. And I needed frame rates. Absolutely. And it was just a personal preference. You can say for a competitive game, on the one hand, frame rate is much more important than graphical fidelity. But for something that's really, say, an immersive single-player game that isn't especially fast-paced, image quality is more important than frame rate, possibly. But I think, again, specifically to what Total Biscuit was saying, that guy is PC gaming. He is very, very much high-end, high-dollar, you know, no expense spared at all. And so his, not only is he going to have the perspective of a PC gamer, he's also going to have the perspective of a PC gamer with enough money and enough resources to always push every game as far as it can theoretically go. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I would say, but what he said was, even in the video, is that if you want high graphics and 30 frames a second, go ahead. He's just saying the option should be there to choose lower graphics, higher frame rate if you want it.
As for the console stuff?
Yeah.
I think that's probably a good thing. I think maybe a lot of career or lifetime console gamers don't even think about that as an option because it's never really been presented. A couple of times, I believe. I know that recently Final Fantasy XIV on the consoles gives you that option.
Yeah. But I mean, that started as a PC release as well.
It,
I believe so.
Did. It well, was on it, it was on the PC before it was on the console.
Yeah, I'm thinking purely of the recent reboot.
Right. I fully agree with him. I really, really do. But I also, it seems to me there's a lot of question of, like, is a game 30 frames or is it 60 frames or is it something else? Is it variable? Is it locked? Is there a minimum? And I've spent so long on the PC that to me performance and image quality are this indistinct kind of cloudy spectrum. Sometimes on some games, I really am going to see exactly how far I can push my performance. And I can play at 45 frames per second for a single player game that isn't demanding an awful lot of me. I'm not a snob because I've never been wealthy enough to be a snob. I've never been able to throw that kind of hardware at a game. And I don't like compromising performance. But so while I agree with him, I don't know. I feel like the whole conversation has a tendency to run toward absolutes, if that makes any sense.
But if you want an example in the other direction, look at Nintendo. Their systems tend to be, for the most part, the weakest systems, but every single game they make is 60 frames a second. Nintendo
right.
gets why it matters.
Right. And I think they're able to dial that in a little bit better because they're in such total control of their art style. Mm-hmm. It allows them to take shortcuts, or that's not fair. That sounds like a pejorative. I don't mean it that way. They're able to target 60 frames per second, and then they are able to do whatever they have to do to make sure that happens. I think that's great. I think that is a really, really wonderful thing because I am a firm believer in the fact that you absolutely can tell the difference between 30, 45 and 60, or I can. Maybe there are people who can't, but I can, and I wish that it was absolutely targeted. But it's also true that if you want to hit 60 frames, you're going to make compromises in other places, most likely. So I don't know, as a person who just likes video games, I'd be lying if I said that I felt really bad about how certain things have been on the consoles lately. You're hitting 30 frames, and yeah, I believe things should absolutely be pushing maybe one absolute, 1080p or 60 frames or something like that. But also, the fact that Watch Dogs is, what is it, 900 on the PS4?
Yeah, PS4, like...
It's coming out of the frame buffer, it's like 900p, and then it's 30 frames per second. And I have to be honest with you, that's the least of its problems.
Yeah.
It looks perfectly fine, it plays perfectly fine, and there are a lot of people who just don't want to shoulder that argument, you know? Because they actually can have fun without it. It's weird. I don't know. I feel ill-equipped to actually say something definitive, and I kind of understand all points of view. And I know that's a little strange.
You understand what's going on, you just don't have a dog in the race.
I'm in it all over the place, yeah. You know? It's very, very weird to me. And I hadn't thought so much obsessively about frame rate until recently, I guess. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think the funny thing is a lot of, again, if you, I don't mind that games run at 30 frames a second, but if you really want to look at it, if you really start thinking about back through some of the most popular games and franchises, you kind of start to notice a common theme of they all kind of run at 60 frames a second. Even games like Call of Duty kind of have, that has always been their thing, that we are a game that runs at 60 frames a second on a console.
Hmm. I always, yeah, I don't know. I suppose my brain never really, I just accepted that there were certain things that were happening on the consoles. The console experience was always one of giving up something that could be done better elsewhere, I guess, from a technical point of view. What I will say is, if there was an option, like you mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, where on modern consoles, the player was given the option to play with higher IQ, higher image quality, but lower frame rate, and then to be able to switch it for lowered image quality with a higher frame rate, just a couple of presets, right? Because again, on the PC, it's wacky to consider a game on the PC that doesn't have a myriad of options. Going right back to Total Biscuit, when he does an hour-long look at any new game, he spends like 15 minutes just going through the menus and critiquing the game and evaluating the game based on how many options there are. Understanding that PC gaming is a continuum, a spectrum of hardware, and that different people are going to have different experiences and you can't lock it in. Different people, even if they didn't have varying types of computers, would have varying preferences.
Yeah.
I think if we did see people start to offer that option on the console, like here is a either 720p version of the game at 60 or a 1080p version at 30, or some variation in image quality, you know, lighting or shadows or something reduced in favor of frame rates. I would like to see that, and I would like to see a little bit of data gathered on that, see how many people are really woken up to the idea that, whoa, man, like, what else can I give up for better performance?
And they'd be able to get that data since almost every game now sends metrics back to the developers to
exactly.
look at.
Exactly. And it would maybe not settle the debate, but it would maybe define it a little bit. I don't know. I like that idea. I would really like to see people start doing that. I can't imagine it would be that difficult to enable. I really can't.
Not considering that these consoles are essentially PCs anyway at
yep.
this point.
Near enough as makes no amazing difference. So maybe that would be a thing to push for over the course of this generation. See who gets on board.
I think the bigger point is that at least because of this video, people are now starting to talk about it one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And actually bringing it up as a point that has been ignored for a long period of time, and it really shouldn't have been.
Yeah, it has been. That's true. I would like to see it talked about more, I guess. I don't know. It's still kind of prickly and touchy. It runs really fast towards an argument about pretty much anywhere it appears, but whatever, that's what we do, right?
Yeah.
We
yeah.
feel strongly about things.
We appreciate the call, Matthew. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right. So if you'd like to call in, number 334-272-9228. A few minutes here before we go to break. One of the games that we had mentioned before we came back for break was Homefront 2 that I was surprised to see. Even though I had totally forgotten that Crytek bought it in the auction.
It.
Yeah, I had totally forgot about it. God, how
is
long
is it being developed by, is it Deep Silver?
It's developed by Crytek.
Published by Deep Silver. It's developed by Crytek. When I found that out and James and I were talking about it through chat, we couldn't remember if we'd finished the game or not. We just remember not liking
mm-hmm.
Homefront back when it released ever how long ago? That was, I think it was 2011. Because I went back to our achievements. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was serious. I was like, I don't remember. What did we do? And I went back to our achievements on Xbox Live and looked. And I believe it was March of 2011.
Yep, 2011 when, is when it came out.
Yeah, March 15.
Yeah, March of 2011 was when those achievements were between you and I had that we had gotten.
That was a really bad video game.
It was. I played it all the way through, but it was.
I didn't like it at all.
Refresh my memory. Is that the one with the fictional invasion from
North Korea, I think?
Korea.
Like a unified Korean super force or something. Okay. Put really simply, really quickly, it was originally supposed to be the Chinese. Mm-hmm. We're going to wage somewhere near the middle of the century or you know, past the quarter century mark, the 2030s or something like that. I can't mm-hmm. remember specifically, but, you know, it was the Red Dawn scenario,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Not only did other people grow to power, the United States receded from power, and we lost a lot of support from our allies, and there was, like, some famine and an energy crisis, and the economy suffered greatly, and historically, that's a really, really good setup for a war. And in the game, it was supposed to be the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is at the time, THQ had business interests in China and was like, could we not kick dirt in their eye while we're trying to do business over there?
Mm.
And so they kind of changed the focus to North Korea, as preposterous as that is. But yeah, that. And again, it is ridiculous, but that's what the game is, and that's what the story is. Mm. So whatever else they may want to do with it, that's the world that Crytek have inherited when they bought the IP.
Mm.
Is a sort of weirdly massaged fiction that doesn't make a lot of sense. And that's okay. But, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
And now, instead of the invasion, you're rebelling. It's after years of occupation.
See, I don't even remember how that game ended.
It doesn't even matter how it ended. I'm saying that I think they made it very clear that
that if there was a choice at your ending in the first game, it went this way. Right? Whatever the case is, this is how it went.
Right, and you're not focusing on the same group of people or anything anymore. So it's about what it put me in the mind of, and what it put an awful lot of people in the mind of, I think, both in terms of the fiction and some discussion of the gameplay. Was Freedom Fighters.
Right.
Did anybody here play Freedom Fighters?
I've heard the name.
I want to say I did play Yeah. Freedom Fighters. I played it. Yeah. I remember that was a PS2
Brilliant.
Title.
Well, that was a PC title. Thank you very much.
Okay, sorry.
It was brilliant. It was terrific. It was incredibly fun.
And that wasn't
super fantastic mission structure.
That wasn't EA. Was that EA?
It was EA.
Yeah, they published it, but
IO
it was
Interactive.
Yeah, it was made by the same guys who made Hitman 2.
That's right.
Same
yeah.
Which was a fantastic game. But it kind of evokes that same idea of like fighting back in terms of guerrilla. You know, Wolverines, Red Dawn. It's that whole thing. It's a ridiculous, bloody, stupid fantasy, but it works really, really well if it's kind of laid down inside of the right movie or the right video game. So here's hoping. Crytek kind of knows what they're doing. You know, I'm good on Deep Silver. They kind of came out of, just came out and helped an awful lot of things come to fruition after the THQ dissolution. So, and you're going to see a couple of their things?
Yeah, I've got an appointment to see. What happened was is that they had not announced the game when they decided to make an appointment. They said, look, Deep Silver, we have two titles. They said two AAA titles that we have not revealed yet. Would you like time to see them? I don't like it when they do this because it's like, sure, what is your okay, fine.
Are you like pulling the handle on the... on the thing, and is like, am I going to come up like
the slot machine of quality,
brand new IP masterpiece, or like, am I going to get a mobile game?
Yeah,
you know,
that's AAA in the mobile space of the sense. It's but no. And so when they announced this, I thought, well, there's my one. I don't know what my second one is. I don't know what the second unannounced.
Yeah, because I think that's part of Twitch's streaming schedule. Mm-hmm. There were two unannounced Deep Silver games then. pretty sure Homefront is probably one of them.
Homefront is one of them, I know. It's just that I don't know what the other one is, and they may have announced it, or it may have gotten out, and I just haven't paid attention to it, or didn't realize that it was a Deep Silver published property. That happens a lot, where a game gets announced, and I don't realize who the publisher is until afterwards. But
hoping for Saints Row 5.
Yeah, I posted my E3 schedule up on our Facebook page, if you want to go look and see all the stuff that I'm going to be, that I've got appointments set up for. And I think, are you guys doing something on Monday?
We're just going to get together and watch.
Okay.
That's all it is.
Yeah, we were...
Really, really simple. We lost our venue for...
Yeah, we were going to try to kind of live stream our
commentary. Live stream, hang out, see if anybody wanted to join in with us, watch the stream, and like... listen to me talk about how the whole industry is essentially going to disappear in a puff of angst sometime this fall because it's all turned into a horrible business, and why do I even like them anymore anyway? I don't know. But you're just going to have to imagine that that's happening because it will be.
Yeah. Well, anyway, when we come back, we will talk more about E3, of course, on InGame Chat. Here is music. This is called Cider Time. Not sure what this is from, but we'll be right back with our second hour of InGame Chat in just a moment. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music there from Riven, one of my favorite games. Anyway, going into E3 talk, I keep seeing a bunch of people in the chat room asking, hey, what are you most looking forward to see being announced? What of the titles that you know are going to be announced is the one you're most looking forward to?
I know which one you're most looking forward to is Pinball FX 2.
That's already been announced. I've got an appointment for that, too.
That's where you're going to be, like, all of E3. We all know that.
Well, yeah. You can have several different questions, right? What of the things you are certain is going to be shown are you most interested in seeing?
And maybe we should start with the press conferences and just go down that list.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming that's when the majority of things will be announced.
You're really not going to hear after Tuesday. You're not going to hear much of like so and so announced this.
It'll be smaller things. Yeah. I think maybe things possibly here, little things there.
You may get more details out of the announcement that you heard from the thing on Monday, but you know, I don't know that you might get too many announcements.
I'm pretty sure all the spots like on the Twitch schedule we have posted, all the spots are like here's this unannounced title from this is going to be in this spot on Tuesday or Wednesday or whatnot. Those will all be filled in by the end of Monday. We'll know exactly what they are.
Yeah, more than likely. Very much you will. So let's start with Monday in the morning. It's 9:30 Pacific time when Microsoft kicks theirs off.
Yeah, about midday here in the eastern half of the U.S. That's Microsoft. I will say... I am completely fascinated with this E3. I have no idea what's going on.
I know.
It will either be just pants.
Abysmal.
It'll either be just the dullest, most rote and boring thing we've ever seen, or it'll be fantastic, I think. I don't think this year there's going to be much in between. And I only say that because... there's always a little bit of a news cycle prior to E3, but a little one. Usually it is dead.
Yeah, it is.
Dead right before the show because everybody's like, no, we're not talking.
This year's been...
Wait, we're just not talking.
Yeah.
Tons of people have made certain things clear, like, hey, we're just going to announce this. We're talking about this. Here's this thing. It's announced. You'll hear more later. Okay. So that puts the announcement out of the way. That puts the big, you know, ta-da! Big stage presence stuff out of the way.
Yeah, it gets the surprise out of the way.
Right. There's also more than a few things that have come along and just said, nope. We push it back till next year. Never mind. We were too aggressive. We were maybe hinting that we were out this year. 2015, just we're not talking about anything right now. Don't go asking. Don't go bugging us. Don't expect anything. We just want to let you off the hook. We're coming out next year. We're not talking right now.
Which,
so
by
don't
the way,
for us.
Honestly, I actually kind of appreciate that.
No, I'm not saying that's a bad thing
at all. Yeah, no, I know you're
not.
I am
very frustrated by things getting pushed back. But that's because I want to play those things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But somebody saying, look, we're pushing it back and we just don't have anything to say right now.
But don't.
Far better way of handling it than BioShock Infinite or Watch Dogs did.
Or just letting it go without anything.
Without anything at all. You know. It's a much better way to do it.
And then you end up on that game trailers list of where was this at E3 type thing.
So what it seems like is that one of two things have happened, both things maybe to some degree. A lot of people have looked at especially the Watch Dogs delay and said, if you... If you really pump your hype, right? If you really press on that hype and try to get people excited, and then something happens, well, yeah, you may still sell 4 million copies in the first week, but you're gonna gather a lot of ill will and a lot of really bad baggage, and you just don't want that. You don't want the hype deflated. You don't want the bad press. So just go ahead and push it out and get rid of it. Second, a lot of things that they don't genuinely have room for, that there's so much stuff they want to talk about, so many genuine secrets they want to talk about, that they're clearing the dance floor for the real surprises, for the really, really cool stuff. I really hope that second thing is true.
I do too.
I really hope that they have an awful lot that they've been able to keep a lid on.
Yeah, and that's where we think that, hey, this could be the case of why it could be a great... E3 press conference thing on Monday. Well, that's why it could be great, because we could get a lot of, holy crap, I didn't see this coming. I didn't know it was coming. Yeah. Or we could get, oh, here's our Gears of War thing that we're doing for this. Here's our remake for that. You already know about Sunset Overdrive, but here's some more information on that.
TV.
Also, we've scored a deal for all these different apps that you don't care anything about. We already know HBO Go is coming, which was really one of the only important ones I was looking forward to, and I know a lot of other people are looking forward to.
It was one of the only things conspicuously absent.
Really? It really was.
From both of the new systems, actually.
But I think you'll see a lot of that is that, here's another 90-second trailer for Halo 5 that gives you no idea of what's going on, but it's enough for us to introduce Halo 2 that everybody was asking about, or the Halo Anniversary, or the Halo
Big collection. The mainline series collection. I really do want to hear more about 5. I care. I have no idea why. I can't figure out why, but I kind of do, and I sort of enjoy being wrapped up in... the Halo energy that other people have, and that I'm terrible at the game competitively, and I have never felt like it lives up to its own promise in terms of the narrative and the story and everything like that. It's all kind of there, but it's just not dealt with very well, in my opinion. But somehow, I'm still super excited every time there is one.
They had already announced that they're going to do the Kinectless Xbox version.
Right, no. That's already done.
It's already
done. The associated price drop, the possibility of clawing back some performance from a Kinectless, some GPU performance from a Kinectless Xbox.
Duke, do you guys think it was a good or bad move dropping the Kinect before E3?
Good move. It gave them time to actually... I don't think it's something they could... Anytime they did it, it was probably going to cause them a real... It was going to create a real pause, right, for them to... move units without a Kinect into the channel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were going to take that month or that 6 weeks and not really have much in the way of sales. I think that it's a kind of capitulation that they can get out of the way and don't have to do on a stage. You just mention it on Twitter. It's totally effective to just do that. And then save the stage for games. Not for apologies, not for promises, just for games. And when I see Spencer do that, right, he's like, oh, we're doing this. And here's what we're doing with the business, and even little things, almost housekeeping issues, like the PC drivers for the Xbox
One
controller.
For the Xbox One controller, yeah.
You can finally use the Xbox One controller as a PC thing.
Have you tried that yet?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good. It's It's good. I love the D-pad on that controller so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so good. And in general, the controller's fine. It does feel different than the 360 controller to me quite a bit. And I don't know all the way that I prefer it, but I definitely prefer that D-pad. It's really nice. I mean, it may seem like a silly thing, but the 360 controller has been the essentially default input device for serious PC gaming for a while.
Yeah,
the default gamepad.
Right.
To be able to move up to the Xbox One controller on the PC was a big deal.
Yeah.
For a small number of people, but it's still a big deal. But it's, yet again, something else that's just done. It's, okay, mark that off the list. You know? It's like they're going down a serious punch list of things. Housekeeping issues, management issues, app announcements, all these other things that are not video games.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be forgiven for being hopeful and optimistic that the conference really is just going to be about games. And at this point, I don't even care. I don't care if they're terrible games. I don't care if they're games that I have no interest in. If you're just really going to talk about the library that you're going to put to work on your console, which you absolutely need, you're doing the right thing. And that's good.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let myself believe that that's what's going to happen.
Is there anything, Dennis, RJ, Nathan, anything you guys are looking forward to from Microsoft's press conference?
I haven't thought about Microsoft at all.
I'm sorry I brought you into that conversation.
I can't think of anything really that would just light a fire under me and make me be like, Microsoft. But
yeah.
I do agree with what someone said in the chat that I would like to see Microsoft's point of view with the indies. To see what they do.
Oh, right. Maybe
if they try to.
They got a long hill to climb on that one.
Well, yeah,
after Sony said, hey, if you guys want to display at, what was it, Gamescom or Tokyo Game Show, we'll foot the bill for that, all you indie guys.
So I'm curious if Microsoft will kind of try to compete.
I think they will. I think it's kind of obvious that they're really looking to reverse themselves.
After you dropped a Kinect, after you release your console without the thing that you said you couldn't release your console without, I think you've got room to do a lot of things that...
There's nothing you can't have been wrong about.
Yeah.
Which can be both good and bad. It depends on how they kind of wield... It depends on their stance mm-hmm. now. It just depends on what they do. But I think all anybody really wants to hear about is video games. I would love to have heard more about Quantum Break... But that's one that we were told we're not hearing about. Remedy say that don't expect to hear anything?
They said, look, we'll talk more about it, I think, at Gamescom is what they said they'll do. So
and that's
they just
sad.
Said it won't be at E3. Here's a little bitty thing of game.
Well, what do you want? You've got the console.
Oh,
and you're going to be
man.
There.
I don't know. I can't put my finger on any one thing. I can tell you that what I want from them is to be really surprised and happily surprised about what they're going to show. I want something that I did. Gears will not impress me. Halo 5 will not impress me. I know it's coming. It's just that them talking about it. I want
its existence won't surprise you.
Right. I want to know the existence of something that I wasn't expecting. A Crackdown 3, even though that's like a little hint here and there. And
you can't really identify what you're not expecting.
I know.
You just want them to come out of left field with something so you can be like,
yes.
What?
Yes.
ODST 2. That would be something.
Sure. But
that's actually not a horrible idea to kind of always have the little band of ODSTs moving narratively through the cracks between
the games?
Mainline
series.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That would be I'm going to stop wanting that.
Because obviously, because I'm trying to...
You need to manage your expectations.
When I think of EA, when I think of Ubisoft, and when I think of Sony, I can give you some clear answers there. But when I think of Microsoft, man, I can't give you any kind of clear answer other than what we were just saying, which is like, I've got these expectations, but I rather would just be floored by some big surprise.
I'd kind of like to hear a little more, see a little more about Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah.
Because it's not really like doing anything for me, and I feel like I'm kind of missing something because it's excited lots of other people, so I'm
I feel like
sort of like to see
we still haven't gotten a complete picture on that.
We just got
a couple of demo reels at best,
right?
That's about
right.
Something definitive on that would be really interesting.
I am expecting them to go back to their stable of long ignored franchises, things that they own, stuff we talked about last week. I would, if I could have anything, man, if I could have anything, honestly, I want a Crimson Skies.
Yeah.
Give me a Crimson Skies. You skipped an entire generation doing nothing with Crimson Skies. It would be a really good time to do something like that.
All right, so the one after Microsoft is EA's press conference. That is at noon? I don't have the...
For you? I don't know. It's next. It's after Microsoft.
For us, it would be about 2 o'clock, so about 12 o'clock over there.
Yeah, noon. Noon Pacific time for EA's press conference. They have already announced, obviously, what it was, a Hardline? Battlefield Hardline?
Yeah, Battlefield Hardline, which... It, Battlefield, I mean...
Star Wars Battlefront, you might get a little thing.
Might get something on Battlefront 2. No, is it Battlefront 3 now? Or what is it? I don't know.
I think they just went with Star Wars Battle. I think they just went Battlefront. I don't think they're putting a number on it. I think they're just going with Battlefront for, or Star Wars Battlefront. But we've got that. So, I don't know. What do you expect out of EA? It's one of the smaller ones. It's only going to be probably an hour's worth of their time. I'll go with mine. They've already announced that they're showing off something from Criterion, and I'd like to know what that is. That could be a big surprise for me. I don't think it's another Burnout, because I just can't see how that would not have gotten out some way that somebody for Burnout was being hired or whatever. If it is, hey, this is a great E3. Burnout, new pinball table from Zen, wonderful. But I think it'll be something different from them.
I would like,
and Mirror's Edge too.
I'd like to see some more exactly what Dragon Age Inquisition is going to be. That's one kind of like, What exactly is the plan?
Seen a lot of artwork out of that. We've seen some of the environmental modeling and things like that, but I not much about what the actual gameplay is going to be.
That's something I definitely want to see. Is
because really closer to Origins or closer to two? That's really the only question. Where between those two things is it going to fit, or is it going to go?
Is it going to be in its own direction?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the one I'm looking forward to.
I would like to know, and I have no reason to believe I'm going to hear this, I would really like to know what's up in the Mass Effect universe.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my next Mass Effect thing?
Yeah, that's because it's been kind of quiet after 3.
Understandably so, but they made it very clear that they're not done with that. They're not done with that universe at all. And I really want to know what direction they're going to go.
How long has it been?
2 years.
2 years.
Since 3. 2 years and some.
It's possible we might get something then. It's been a minute since then.
It's been long enough that I think maybe they want to talk about it.
I think for
maybe
that...
Maybe they want to give it another year.
I think for that you're getting one of those, here's one more thing at the very end, and it's something so...
Teaser, splash screen.
Yeah, just
title
so...
Title card,
that you'll never
like
hear
that.
Anything about until, you know, almost a year later... Right. When they can give you more information.
I could also see the new Star Wars game, them doing that too.
Well, they could absolutely start taking the lid off of Star Wars stuff. Mm-hmm. That would be fantastic.
Yes.
Because...
The BioWare one.
They've got a year and a half until the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, really, next year is going to be a very Star Wars-y E3, I imagine. But they can really start talking about it this year, I believe.
Yeah. Anything on your end, RJ, that you'd like to see? They'll obviously throw some sports out there for EA.
Yeah,
you play any EA sport titles?
Not since NHL 14. That's the only one I've played recently from EA Sports. Other than that, no football titles because EA has it all. I don't like Madden, the line from them. Baseball, the show, and that's pretty much it. I haven't played much from EA. To be honest with you.
Yeah. I'm not expecting any surprises out of EA in theirs. I'm not expecting... it's not like what it was for Microsoft when I would like to hope for something to just floor me. Mm-hmm. I don't expect to get that from EA for some reason. I don't know why. I think because they've already said, look, DICE will be on hand to show something off. Criterion will be on hand to show something off. We're going to show... They've kind of revealed their list of what they're going to show. And I'm sure there's going to be little peppered here and there of like... Oh, here's this thing that we haven't told you about. I just don't know that it's going to appeal to me. They have what exists of theirs. There are just a few things that I'm actually interested in. There, obviously, no Dead Space is coming this way. And again, that's going back to pre-existing things that'll get sequels or remakes or something like that. Not anything that is just like, boom, this is brand new. You've never heard of it.
Well, I mean, they said they were going to be revealing 6 games at EA.
Six games.
Six
well,
titles. Okay. Hmm.
Star Wars, the Battlefront that we talked about, Battlefield Hardline that we talked about is another one. The Criterion and the Dice game, that leaves two more games.
Dragon Age.
Dragon Age, and then that leaves one more. And I don't know what it could be.
Yeah.
So maybe there's your Mass Effect.
And that's also not counting the sports games. Those are annual.
That's true, yeah. Well, yeah, those are just the annual type annual things. So, after that, we have Ubisoft mm-hmm. at 3 in the afternoon Pacific time, I believe, or maybe 3:30. But and they've already announced their titles as well.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed Unity, Far Cry 4, Division, which has been pushed back 2015, mm-hmm. The Crew... one I'm actually kind of looking forward to is...
Wartime? Or War... What was that? What's the one?
Valiant Hearts.
Valiant Hearts, that's
yeah,
what
that's... Which is going to be a...
it's got a subtitle.
Yes, Valiant Hearts, UbiArt The title. Great War.
The Great War. There
right.
we go.
It's one of their UbiArt titles.
That's what I'm kind of looking forward to the most.
Yeah.
I mean, Assassin's Creed, I didn't play 4. I didn't play Far Cry 3 either. And I kind of feel like I missed out on something.
I think you did, actually. I think 3 was good. It suffered a lot of the same maybe downgrade, maybe a little bit of liar business when they announced it. But regardless, it was mostly a pretty enjoyable game. It was a first-person shooter. And you go around and you shoot things, and it's perfectly fine. It's
and you
not,
level up. You know.
Yeah, it wasn't fantastic, but it was... It was fairly solid, and I enjoyed it.
And that's the most important thing. Is
Assassin's Creed 4, I really did enjoy, although it just wasn't... Man, it was pirates. I was on a ship, and I went around and I pirated stuff. Like, that's really hard to mess up.
Yeah, that's my only worry. Is like, if you take that away, assuming that's what happens in Unity, is the game not going to be fun again?
I would not have imagined 4 being even remotely fun mm-hmm. without... The ships without the pirating.
Yeah, because that's what I heard. Like, you know, yeah, the pirates is great, but man, just going around town is kind of like.
It wasn't horrible, obviously, and it was contained in a way that it hasn't been previously. You spend a lot of time on ships, and then you go to the land, you do a little bit of land stuff, and then back to your ship. And so it never felt like you spent an inordinate amount of. There was one time in the whole game where you were not allowed on your ship when you were blockaded in port.
Mm hmm.
And it was infuriating. Gosh, it was horrible. Which made you realize even more how much the all of the sort of positive feedback about that game really depended on the high seas warfare. And just kind of, not even the warfare, but just like, I'm going to sail over there and my guys are going to sing a song. And it's super great. You know, going to tell me about Billy Riley or whatever. And it was fantastic, and I loved it. It was it was an environmental kind of joy. I don't know that they can pull that off again.
Yeah.
I'm super curious. I really want to know more about Unity because I want to know, like, what are you doing? You probably know perfectly well why Assassin's Creed 4 was a success. So you're gonna roll us back to just walking us around some kind of pointless or uninteresting historical location, or maybe you're going to try to make that better. I don't know. What do you do at this point after 800 Assassin's Creed games? Do you even try? Or what? I don't know.
I don't know. That's what we hope to find out.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Is Far Cry 4 going to be kind of like Far Cry 3, but like fabulous? Based on the...
the picture.
You know, I don't know. I'm up for whatever. They are the absolute poster person for cynical, like overwrought game design. And I hate it, but I hate feeling this way, but I enjoy their games to some extent nevertheless. Even games like Watch Dogs, I find some enjoyment in.
Yeah.
It's a little bit despicable, and it makes me hate myself just a little bit, but whatever.
Whatever.
I'm gonna play it. I get something out of it.
If as far as like something that isn't announced, if they like just came out of the blue with something, I would like to see a sequel to The Prince of Persia with Elika.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I could do more Prince. That was a really good game.
Yeah.
It was really fun, and I understand why certain people didn't like it, but
mm-hmm.
I'm all for maybe some more.
I mean, it got derailed because of the movie coming out, and they were like, "Well, we have to go back to this other."
Sure, world. Right.
So I would like to see that picked up, or even like a whole new thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would surprise me seeing a Prince of. First off, it would really surprise me seeing a Prince of Persia based on that Prince of Persia.
Mm-hmm.
But it would still surprise me to see a Prince of Persia announced. I would really enjoy that.
Yeah,
they always UB always swings pretty hard though at the end of their conference.
They
right?
do.
Like as you're, I mean,
they've started that with. They started it
and
with.
And they
Watch
get
Dogs.
So tricky, like because you were like out of your seat, out the door, got to get to the Sony conference. You didn't even see the original Watch Dogs.
I didn't. I had to watch it on my phone.
Yeah.
Because I
because I remember messaging you with all sorts of incoherent.
I was like I don't know what you're talking about.
And you're like,
and then
I don't
say
know.
It, everybody at the Sony conference you were talking to was like, did you see the?
Yeah,
the
they were all talking about that. Did you see this Watch Dogs thing?
UB is really really good at doing that.
Yeah,
and it's like it's almost worth it, right? It's like even that Watch Dogs 2012 reveal. It's like the first Star Wars Episode I trailer. That trailer was great, man. It was a terrible movie cut together to look like a brilliant 3-minute ride, you know? Ubisoft is really good at that. I'm just kind of hoping that they maintain that trend. That they have a little stinger at the end of their conference.
Mm-hmm.
That's just another
here's another unannounced you never knew it was right. coming title. And I think they will. I just don't know what that'll be. It would be awesome if it was Prince of Persia, I think. Part of me wishes it would be, and then part of me's like, well, yeah, but I don't want to get the... I don't want to fall in that trap again of just like, oh, this is what... Wait, no, I can't do that. And maybe that's the way you look at the entire... maybe that's the way you look at the entire show, is anything that's announced, don't hold on to that release date. Just enjoy it for the time that it is, and then wait and see what happens afterwards, because things just don't ever seem to stay in the same place. Too eager to get it out there and to talk about it as well. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, then we'll hit up Sony and close out the rest of the show. If you'd like to get in your thoughts, you can. 334-272-9228. We will be right back with the final segment here of In-Game Chat. Here's music from Sonic 3. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music there. Well, this would be a great surprise. Rainbow Six 3.
That's been gone for a minute. Rainbow Six something I'm supposed to be something.
Yeah.
But, nope, just kidding. I'm not real. And then it just... That was like 2 years ago, right?
It really was, yeah. And we thought we'd see more of it at one of their press conferences, and then it never showed up, and it's just never been... It's never been seen from or heard from since. So... but it would be nice to see something there, but not really what we saw back then. I'd like something different. But anyway, we did Microsoft, EA, Ubisoft, and now it's Sony's turn at I believe 6 or 6:30 Pacific time.
Yeah, Yep. Around about then.
Yeah.
Late. So, which has always been a little weird for them because they do not get coverage on
Spike.
On Spike. They don't get network coverage because it cuts into prime time.
Which is so big for them. They can't go right. They can't go commercial free that long. During
right.
the prime time hours.
Right. That's perfectly understandable.
Yeah.
So
it works the opposite for us. We're in the middle of prime time. We could go commercial right. free.
But what's interesting is in years past, it was always kind of a hindrance. Now it's like, I don't know, man, does anybody really watch this on television? Streaming is it. Streaming is completely mm-hmm. acceptable, accessible. It's expected. So now, like, watching the whole thing streaming is just, well, that's how you do it. So there's no problem being dedicated to mm-hmm. the stream.
And now they've got the theater thing.
Yeah, they got the. They also have their little special streamy E3 app
on the PS4,
on the PS4
yeah.
which is cool.
But, PS3 doesn't have anything like that, just the PS4?
I don't think it's on the PS3. I think yeah. they specifically had it for the PS4. But what are you doing with the theaters? What are you doing? What are you up to?
Because I think somebody in the chat room is going to one of the theaters.
I
believe, and I don't remember who said they were.
I mean, because I think that's perfectly fine. We talked about this before. I would do that, and I actually perfectly understand why a person would do that. It's fun to be around people who like what you like, you know? But the thing that's most interesting is that extra 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That little bit at the end hosted by Keeley, covering we don't know exactly what. Maybe it's related to one of the many leaks that have come out over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, really.
But what's fun is that Sony is now essentially they're in Valve territory, because it doesn't matter what a hardened, angry, bitter old man I am. Every time somebody drops a hook with a little bit of Half-Life 3 bait on it, I will bite it. Every time. If it's a joke, if it's something faked up, even if I know it's completely wrong, I will bite on it every time. I need it that bad. And I've come to be the same way about The Last Guardian.
Right.
From Sony. If there is just any little yeah. gap in evidence or coverage, anything at all, in my mind, The Last Guardian can slip right through that gap and become true and real. And this is the year, man. This is the year. That's the only reason they would ever do this 30-minute post-conference hosted thing at the theaters. Why else would you do that? There's literally no other game in the world. And they're also going to announce Half-Life 3.
Or so you hope.
Or so I yeah, hope. Dirty, do. Dirty four-letter uh-huh. word. But I do hope. And that is where my... That's the basket into which I put my hope eggs. is that 30 minutes. So I'll be, like, frantically watching for somebody live tweeting the composition of that last 30-minute thing.
Yeah.
So there is no such thing as a Sony conference where we do not hope desperately for The Last Guardian.
And then after it's over with, we always remember that, oh, this is great.
Right.
But no.
That's right. We live on Earth, right, where wonderful things don't happen. Because we are not supposedly hearing about, not that these are Sony properties, but having been shown previously, Square Enix stuff is apparently not really being shown. They have nothing to say about Kingdom Hearts 3.
Man,
they have nothing to say about Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, I told you guys this whenever, I think we was off the air last week when I said, hey, I'd made my appointment. Or no, Square Enix got in touch with me about making an appointment, and they said, here's the games we're showing. And it was all stuff that exists or that is already out. Right. It was nothing, there was no Kingdom Hearts 3, there was no, what was 15? There was no Final Fantasy 15. They were showing Final Fantasy 14, maybe an expansion of that or some add-on to that.
I think so.
They were showing Murdered Soul Suspect, which came out Tuesday, and then they were showing one other game that...
Probably 2.5, Kingdom Hearts 2.5, which is...
That is what they were showing, but it was all this... It was nothing new. No new IP, no new sequel, no new nothing.
I have seen where they are... supposedly the developers of Remember Me are working with them on something.
They are, that's right.
But that's about all I know as far as... unannounced Square Enix.
And I think for a lot of, like, Square Enix has stuff that I'd like to hear about. I'm not sold on the current, what I perceive to be kind of, like, flaky state of Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'll take 15. That's been in the works now for, like, a lot, like, 8 years? Something like that? Above 8 years?
Long time.
Under a different name then, but for a minute. I will even take, man, just go ahead and talk to me about your cash-in version of Tomb Raider. I don't even care. Talk to me about that. talk to me about the next Tomb Raider game.
Yeah.
I would love to hear about that. You're not going to tell me because it's only been a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed it for what it was, and I'd like to hear more. I understand that there's some Deus Ex stuff happening out there.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't hurt my feelings to hear about it.
Yeah.
Not at all. But again, maybe not the right time.
But Sony, we know that we're going to see some Destiny footage from Sony.
Yes, definitely.
We know that we are going to probably get a Last of Us Remastered discussion. See, this is...
I'll say, I don't think that'll be like a big bullet point on theirs, but definitely something they'll show off.
Something they'll definitely show off with what Last of Us did for the PS3. It's something they'll definitely show off. Hopefully show off, you know, here's how it looked on the PS3, here's how it looks on the PS4, show some differences there. Probably, my thought is they announced that it's going to be available Friday.
For what now?
Last of Us.
God, that was very hotly debated over the last week, wasn't it?
A game store in, I don't know.
In the UK.
It was in the UK.
It was Game, I believe.
Announced that, hey, pick up your copy of Last of Us Remastered. It's this Friday the 13th.
Right.
June 13th. And then they took that back and said, oh, that was a mistake. We're taking that back. That was, nope, sorry, wrong. We were wrong about that. You don't get that wrong.
Yeah, that would be interesting if it's like...
Well, they did specifically come out and say it is not the 13th.
Okay.
We have a date. It is not the 13th. Mm. They didn't say it's not next week. They just, it was a very conspiratorial minded kind of thing fighting against it because they said, you specifically said it's not the 13th.
But you didn't say it was not the 12th, 11th,
the 11th or the 10th.
Yeah.
That would be a nice closer. Oh, yeah. And go download Last of Us on PSN right now for your PS4.
And what's funny is, even if it was on the 13th, they could just be like, yeah, we lied.
Yeah, exactly.
And everybody be like, we don't care, you guys.
Oh,
we love
you guys. Yeah, exactly. I think that's one of the most, it's one of the most fun things about E3 is back when you used to get these at Microsoft. Hey, demo is online right now.
Your console thing is plugged right into the internet. Just have something, just like squirt me out a little bit of reward.
Yeah, this new version of the console will be available starting tomorrow morning, or this game will be available starting...
it's super great. There's a reason that people really hope for that, because it's so awesome.
Yeah.
And assuming you can keep a lid on whatever it is you're working on, there's no reason why some things that don't require tens of millions of dollars of marketing budget... We were talking about this before the show, actually, that I think a lot of that is misunderstood. I think a lot of that marketing is still based on marketing models from maybe 10, 15 years ago. As it is right now, I think that there's an enormous number of games that just could be announced week or month, a few of those rather, ahead of time and just be like, hey, here you go, this is coming out. And there wouldn't really be any problem getting the message delivered.
Yeah. This is what's going to happen at E3 and at all the theaters. As soon as they announce The Last of Us, DLC codes are just going to drop from the...
Yeah, right?
Just going to rain over
everyone. Like confetti or something. They're going to come down inside of balloons.
Last of Us Remastered will be talked about. Destiny will be talked about. I would not be surprised if they do another indie showcase.
Destiny actually could theoretically be a big issue because they've hinted at the fact that the beta, which is going to be for all pre-orders of Destiny...
Mm-hmm.
The beta program is hot on the heels of whatever they have to say at E3. And kind of going back a little bit to where we maybe pounded on Destiny a bit too much, and by we, I mean I, they need to talk about that game.
Yeah.
They need to talk about it a lot. And by talk about it, I mean stop talking and show me stuff. Because they have said endless words, and people have spoken many thousands of times about how much faith they have in Bungie as a developer. They need to show me all the other things that game is supposedly about. I kind of get what it's meant to be. It's meant to be an incredible hybrid of all sorts of gameplay styles. And your track record speaks to your ability to do these things somewhat. Just show us the social aspects of the game. Show us how the campaign is going to work when it's speaking to small groups of people or individuals, but is required that you play through in a shared universe. Talk to us about these details and help us really draw in the picture with facts and not so much, you know, weird fictions that we developed in our own heads. Just show the game a bit more. They really need to do that, and I really want to know an awful lot more. and they have got to get out in front of some of the leaks that have happened, some of the barfed up alpha gameplay that's at this point like 14 hours old.
Yeah.
But that would be a good thing. That could be something that happens. Like, hey, beta's in like a week.
Yeah. The it's interesting. I think you'll get more if Microsoft strictly focuses on gaming, which I don't know that they will. I think it's hard for both of these companies, Microsoft and Sony, to focus strictly on gaming with everything else that's going on in their, in what they do. So, if Microsoft sticks to gaming, EA will stick to gaming, obviously, and Ubisoft will stick to gaming as well. But Sony has a lot of, not necessarily games to show off, but different things to show off. Mm-hmm. Project Morpheus is something that I think we will see on stage at E3.
That thing looked a little bit too Final Form when we first saw it.
Didn't it?
To not see something really specific about it this year. Maybe not a launch this year, but if you can't put that thing on your head in like 4 days, I'm going to be upset.
Well, I do know that when they were showcasing it,
the headset?
Yeah, unit? When they had it, they had said on Twitter, I forget who it was, that said that what it looks like now is nothing what it'll look like on release.
Why does it look so cool now? It looks super cool.
That's just a rough model.
Well, that's dumb. Because it looks cool.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I was like, well, why are you going to change the design? I mean, people kind of already refer that. And then
seriously, I put that next to my Oculus Rift headset. You're going to pick the Morpheus every single time as far as
it looks.
And it
was showcased on the show last night. Jimmy.
Yeah, that's right. It was actually shown on Fallon.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was still the same, and I thought it was going to be a little bit different. It was the exact same thing, and I was like, "Well, when are they going to change
Thanks
it?
Thanks a lot, Nathan.
Yeah, so Project Morpheus
maybe
being one of those.
Maybe
they've changed
PS
their
now.
Mind.
PS Now is the other thing.
Yeah.
Now, they really do have a lot of stuff in the stable, right? It really makes you wonder what they're going to call out onto the floor.
I know, yeah.
I'm going to grit my teeth if they just, because they are Sony, right? They are kind of stubborn in their own particular way when they could be showy, when you desperately want them to be showy and extravagant and promise you the world. Sometimes they're like, well, you know, we're just not really talking about that right now, so just
they could do all that, but if they show The Last Guardian, you won't care.
It won't matter.
Yeah.
That'll be it. They could say, by the way, PS4 price is going up, PS Plus price is going up, we're canceling backwards compatibility.
Go get two jobs to afford your PS4.
Right.
Yeah. We're doing all this stuff. Here's The Last Guardian. We love you, Sony. That's it. That's all it would be. Here's the money for whatever.
They could announce The Last Guardian for the PS3, and people would still be happy.
PS3 sales spike would be huge.
Yes.
From everybody that sold their PS3 to get their PS4.
Yeah, somebody said it in the chat room earlier. They could announce it for Vita.
And then
it'd be like, you know what? I'm cool.
And then they would be able to showcase it with PS Now on your PlayStation 4.
Right.
Man, if that's the game
that
they used to demo.
Funny.
By the way, here's how this works. You know, that would be nice. That'll be interesting. But yeah, PS Now, I would love to see a date and a price for that subscription. There's a few people on COG. A few of the mods on COG who have jumped into a thread that only the mods can see, talking about like, hey, I got invited to the beta. Who else is in? Hey, I'm loving it. The selection's not that great at the moment, but it's still really cool. Sometimes, depending on your internet speed, you can have some issues with it, but there's no bad negative things being said about it right now, other than the fact that the list is not that much, which you would expect going in this small beta that they're in.
Well, yeah,
right now.
It's a beta.
It's still really dependent on the titles available and the pricing structure. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what we're. That's the thing we need to know more than anything else. They definitely have a lot that they could talk about.
Yeah.
It's theirs to lose, I guess. You know, just because of what we know, what they have in the air at the moment.
Uncharted 4, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know that that's there. You know that's there. And you know not to really be expecting any other Last of Us information because Bruce and Neil are both, they're running Uncharted 4.
Right.
They're doing...
And I don't know that we're going to see much of Uncharted 4 after... I mean, maybe they've got something ready, but after they canned the Stashwick guy, who had done like 4 months worth of work...
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's like they
may actually have gone pretty far back in the design process.
So they may have nothing to talk to us about with Uncharted 4. They may use Last of Us to fill that gap of Naughty Dog's time on the stage or something. Maybe that's the case.
Yeah,
I don't really know. And I'm trying to think, maybe God of War, possibly.
Have a lot happening.
Ratchet and Clank.
With first-party stuff.
Yeah.
So.
A lot of stuff out there for Sony that you can speculate on. You don't even have to think of the stuff that you're not thinking of or that you could be surprised at, if, like, here's a new IP or here's new from this company or that company. So they've got a lot in the pipe that could be well enough to flesh that out. Microsoft, I have no idea. Companies have already said either we're not going to be at E3 or here's our game, so no surprise there. I have no idea. EA has listed their titles
I was going to say another one for Sony too was Gran Turismo.
Yes, GT6 is there, right? Out there in the world, somewhere, doing something.
Yes, it is. So,
and then that the free-to-play game for a PlayStation, whatever that one was called, with the dragon. Remember what I'm talking about?
Nope.
No.
The dragon. Oh, that does PlanetSide 2.
Oh, right.
They will be showing that for the PS4.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Free to play with a dragon.
Hold on.
Okay, look that up. We come back. Go ahead. PlanetSide 2.
No. That's finally being shown, which I think, you know, if you're coming from the PC side of things, I can't exactly say what sort of opinion you'll have about it being on the PS4, but there are an awful lot of PS4 owners who have had...
Deep Down.
Oh, yeah. That guy.
Oh, and what's the other one? From Software's title.
Oh, the Dark Souls one?
Project.
Yeah.
What in the world is this? Is this more Souls, but is this like Shadow Tower or whatever it is? What is this?
I don't know.
This thing. Tell me what this is. Yeah, that would be fun. I would love to know what that is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there are a lot of people, a lot of PS4 owners at the moment who have had a ton of fun with stuff like Warframe. Or what is it? The one
War Thunder.
War Thunder is one, yeah.
Is that?
That's out.
Is that out on PS4?
Yeah. Oh, I've been playing it all this week. It's so much fun.
When did that come out?
It came out Tuesday with all the games.
Thanks for telling me.
You didn't ask. And I was shocked. I didn't know. Real quick, not to change the subject or whatever, but they actually released. I didn't know it was coming with the was the tank mode for that too, so you can fly your plane.
No, that's fantastic. I had not given up on it. I just stopped thinking about it.
It's cross-play, so PC and PS4 play with
each other. That's right. They were trying to get that working, or there was something that they were putting a lot of effort into.
They're waiting for Sony to patch that in.
Yeah, that's really good, because that it was Blacklight, Warframe, several really, really good free-to-play things that people were enjoying, but they were kind of getting like...
DC Universe Online.
Right, but like, this is what I've had for 7 months now. Maybe bring along some of this other stuff. I think those things are going to be really, really good for PS4 owners. And conceptually, PlanetSide 2 has had years to cook. Yeah.
Sony will probably also re-establish the tier system of the free games for PS Plus.
And they may have something to say about
definitely
that
talk about,
they have
see, that's
made changes recently.
That's a big bullet point of like, look at this incredible value of what you're getting for this much money for, you know, whatever. And Microsoft will again hit on the fact that, look, none of these new apps we announced will be hidden behind a paywall. It's all going to be off of gold. You don't have to be gold anymore. So they're going to hit their high points again. It's just the stuff that we can't think of is what we're hoping is going to surprise us.
Half-Life 3.
Related to Sony, it's going to be at their booth, but I want to see more of a Binding of Isaac Rebirth.
Got to be great if Sony brought out Batman and said, by the way, it's not delayed to 2015. It's coming out this year. That really...
I know. Yeah. And I know. And it bothered me because it was going to be an excellent litmus, right? Because it was the first major multi-platform but not cross-gen game. It was going to be the first... like of the really big things to come out on everything, but without this theoretical argument that it's being held back because it's still being made for the PS3 and the Xbox 360. We're going to have to wait a little longer on that, but you brought up an even better point.
My point is
that it's Batman, and more Batman, yes, please, always.
Batman is always... Secondly, every Batman game so far has taken place in a certain situation where the season fits the game's release. Arkham Origins released Christmas Eve, and that was it released in October, but that was enough to get you into that, closer to that Christmas vibe. Arkham Asylum, Arkham Asylum released in August, but still it had a feel of fall and that sort of thing.
It was cold.
Yeah. And then Arkham City was the same thing, very cold, and they released in October.
Right.
This one's set during Halloween, and it's going
to
release...
It was going to be released on the 14th.
Yeah.
October.
And now you're going to release, well, you don't. You're 2015. You didn't give us anything.
And they're not going to push it a whole year.
I know.
You're not.
I hope for that as well. So it's just, whatever. E3, man. Good stuff. Anyway, thanks everybody for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream and on the radio. Sorry about the audio issues for those of you guys listening on Twitch. We're going to have that fixed for the next episode. Thanks to everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We really appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net. Join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at colonyofgamers.com, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you're on Steam, we've got a Steam group you can join up with over there and play games with us and other listeners. That is it. Have a wonderful E3, and we will see you next Saturday.